In just a few days, on the 12th of this month, Vargas, South Sudan will officially launch the second dose of their missiles-containing vaccine known as MCV2 into the national immunization schedule. And this comes at a time when the country is grappling with repeated measles outbreaks and persistent gaps in the vaccine's coverage.
But that's not all, because the National Minister of Health, together with WHO, UNICEF, Gavi and other partners, are also scaling up the malaria vaccine to 52 more counties. These combined efforts are a game changer for child health in South Sudan, helping protect children from two of the deadliest yet preventable diseases.
Yes, we will find out. I mean, what does this one actually mean? What does the rollout mean for your community? Why now? And how can we ensure no child is left behind? Well, joining us this morning on the Mirai of Breakfast Show, just to break it down, we have with us Dr. Lassou Mustafa, who is the WHO Malaria Technical Officer. Welcome to Radio Mirai's Breakfast Show this morning.
Thank you so much, Jacob and Maggie. Thank you for having us at Radio Mirai.
Thank you so much. We also have with us Mr. Melesachu Ferede, who is WHO EPI officer. Welcome to Radio Mirai this morning.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right.
I'm glad to be with you.
All right. Thank you all for joining us this morning. And let's go and have the conversation right away. Let me go to Dr. Lassou Mustafa and getting to understand. We understand that the malaria vaccine is also being expanded. I mean, how successful was the first rollout and what can we expect as it scales up? But first, a little about these measles vaccines. Yes.
Thank you so much, Jacob. I think it's about malaria vaccine.
Vaccines, particularly, yes. Malaria vaccines.
Yes, thank you so much. As you are aware, in 2024, the Ministry of Health, WHO, UNICEF, with support from Gavi, introduced the malaria vaccine into the country. I think it was in July when this vaccine was brought in country and the exercise started. This vaccine was pre-qualified in 2023, October, by WHO. This is the second vaccine which has been pre-qualified by WHO. The first vaccine was called RTS, which was pre-qualified in 2022. Mm-hmm. And the vaccine we got in South Sudan was called R21. And since we received the vaccine, the Ministry of Health, with support from its partners, started the rolling out the vaccine in 28 counties that were prioritized in various states. And the target the ministry and its partner had for the first rollout was about 265,000 children. And as of May, about 56% of that target was achieved. And malaria vaccine is given, it has three primary doses, which are given at 5, 6, and 7 months. And then another dose, a fourth dose, which is given at 18 months up to 23 months. Normally, the target for the vaccine, as agreed by the country, is starting from 5 months to 23 months. And we have seen, of course, some good number of children coming to get the first dose, but significantly we have noticed that the number of children coming to get the subsequent doses keep on reducing. So I think that there is need to increase awareness in the community such that children can take all the four doses, because you are guaranteed to have full protection from the vaccine if you get all the doses as recommended by WHO. So there is some success that we have seen during the first phase, and of course still there is a lot we need to do, especially in terms of garnering the public and to ensure that more children come and get the doses and complete all the four doses. And it's against that background that a plan is underway to first strengthen the ongoing vaccination in the 28 counties and also scale up in the remaining counties in the country. Yes.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lasso. Let me come back to Ferede. I would like to understand, you know, you are the EPI officer for WHO, and he just said that there has been a kind of a decline in terms of the number of children receiving these vaccines. I mean, what's your own general perception? I mean, the analysis on the intake of these vaccines by the children?
Thank you. Regarding the intake, actually, you know, usually when we introduce new vaccine, there might be some challenges, the awareness and also the scheduling. So as Dr. Mustafa mentioned, malaria has a sky scale of 5 months, 6 months and 7 months. Then the last dose will be at 18 months, which we are going to come in the next. So initially when they start, people were like thinking like it was like a kind of a campaign, but it was not. So initial doses first and second dose was better, but it started to decline because it was not done like in a campaign mode. It is a routine. So it needs more demand generation, awareness creation, and also sensitizing the health workers. And as he mentioned rightly, the first phase was around 28 counties. It is not nationwide. So that information dissemination is a bit scanty. So now when we scale up actually for 52, we include all the 28 in the refresher training and the orientation and on the demand creation, together with even the MISER, which will come later. So now at least this one will help us to boost to improve the coverage.
And as Dr. Lasso mentioned, we still have mothers who give birth maybe at home. Some of them don't bring their children to health facilities to come and get this vaccination. What are you doing? Because you mentioned the issue of knowledge gap, or maybe they are not coming to the health facility. Together with the National Minister of Health and other stakeholders, what are you doing to fill this gap so that they come and take the vaccine? I don't know who can go with the Lasso. Dr. Lasso?
Thank you so much. Yes. And of course, like we know, the problem of giving birth at home is still common in the country. And this vaccine, like I mentioned, the target starts from 5 months. So even when a child is born at home, can still be brought to the vaccine. But we also encourage mothers to try as much as possible to ensure that they deliver their babies at the health facility, because apart from this malaria vaccine, there are other many childhood vaccines that are provided on the first day the child is given birth to in the hospital. So the encouragement is that mothers should deliver their babies in health facilities. But even if they did not do that because of many issues that we have in the country, at 5 months, the mothers can still bring their children for vaccination in the nearby health facility.
Let me come back to Ferede again. You know, you are the focal person in terms of this immunization program after WHO. I mean, what does this integrated rollout actually mean for South Sudan's wider health system?
Okay, thank you. So this integration is, let us just make it more specific for measles, second dose, and malaria. As it was mentioned earlier, malaria has four doses to say it's fully immunized, the child. So the first three doses will be complete at 7 months, that is 5, 6, 7. Then the last one, which we call it as a booster dose, is at 18 months. Measles vaccination is just a traditional vaccine. I think everybody knows, but I need to clarify a bit. Measles is one of the contagious diseases, and even the burden of the measles disease is especially under 5. That is why we have a lot of outbreaks in this country, especially since 2023. We have a number of outbreaks, even after doing the campaign. So the main reason is because the country didn't introduce a second dose. So out of the 47 Afro-region countries, 44 of them, they already introduced up to 2024. So now, South Sudan, when we introduce in August 12, we will be the 45th country in the Afro region. That means we are just lagging behind. So this is the recommendation from WHO. The country, when they introduce the second dose, it really, really reduces the burden. So to come up for your question about the integration, so the WHO recommend the second dose. The first dose is at 9 months. The second dose, it can be given at 15 up to 18. So, but this is now to pick the months. It is a decision for the country.
Mm-hmm.
So the South Sudan, because we have an opportunity of malaria.
Yes.
So malaria is at 18 months. So to avoid a frequent visit of the mother, to reduce her visit to the first facility, so the country decided to have it at 18 months to combine it with the malaria. So this integration will help, number one, to reduce the number
the
of
frequent
the
visits
of the mother, and then the child will get
the immunity, the
vaccination at the same time. So you know, these are injectable.
Mm.
So we will not bring the child twice to be injected, and that is also another factor: the feeling of the pain.
Mm.
The mother. So that is also the advantage of integrating, and then to disseminate the information is also another opportunity. Secondly, you see, usually in South Sudan, routine immunization completes by the end of the first year. But now this is creating another opportunity at the second year of life.
Mm-hmm.
If there are some missing health interventions for children, this is another opportunity for the child to get.
Mm-hmm.
If the child is also missing some vaccine before, this is another opportunity to complete the cycle. So other traditional vaccines we are giving.
Yeah, you mentioned that South Sudan just introduced the second dose of measles or introduced...
To introduce.
Yes. What kind of protection does this second dose give to these babies?
Good. So based on the studies, the first dose at 9 months give a protection of 85%. So that means 15% of the children who are already vaccinated are not protected.
Mm.
So when we add the second dose at 18 months, the protection is almost 99%. That means if a child got 2 doses of the vaccine, it is highly likely that the child is immunized.
Mm-hmm.
So based on the study, it's 99% protected.
Yeah, let me bring this a little bit. Okay, we're talking about children here, but malaria is not just segregative. It's not only limited to children. I mean, adults also go through a lot of this, and we have lost so many people to malaria. I mean, why do we centralize these vaccines only to children, Dr. Mustafa?
Thank you so much. This is a very frequently asked question.
Yes.
Why always children? Adults complain, why are we neglecting them? So, one, it's about how malaria affect these two different age groups.
Mm.
When we look at malaria, most of the people who get severe malaria are children. And this is because of the fact that them being children, their immunity is still low. Adults, as we grow, as we get many bouts of malaria, our body builds some form of immunity. We can still get malaria. We can still become very sick. But children, being that they still have low immunity, their vulnerability to severe malaria and deaths is very common. When we look at the demographics in South Sudan, in 2017, Malaria Indicator Survey, the prevalence of malaria in children was at 32%. But the last Malaria Indicator Survey, which was conducted in 2023, shows that the prevalence of malaria in among children under 5 has risen to 52.6%. So that means that we are seeing more children getting malaria. And like I mentioned earlier, they are more likely to get complicated malaria and they are more likely to die from malaria. So vaccination normally targets people who are more vulnerable to the problem. And in this case, children are more vulnerable because of their low immunity, because they are the most affected and they are most likely to be the one to die when they get malaria. That's why we are targeting children.
Yeah, there used to be myths and misconceptions about vaccines, particularly in this part of the world. You remember when the COVID-19 vaccines emerged, people had different misconceptions. I mean, what about with the malaria vaccines as well that we're talking about?
Yes, vaccines are developed through very rigorous scientific studies.
Mm-hmm.
And they go through a lot of trials before they are pre-qualified for use. And despite that, when we start using the vaccines, we still continue to monitor a lot of things about the vaccines to see that if there is any adverse effect that is developed. by the people who receive the vaccines are monitored and attended to. So we get a lot of myth and misconception, like you call them, they're actually misconception about vaccines. For generations, vaccines have been very, very important part of public health, and they will continue to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you mentioned COVID-19. Vaccines were a very important part in making us where we are in terms of COVID-19. I think that is a lesson that we should learn, that vaccines were and will still continue to be a very important part of public health, and we should embrace them to prevent a lot of diseases. A lot of diseases have been eradicated because of vaccines. You must have heard about smallpox and others. Mm. So I think in many years ago, we used to have a lot of cases of polio, but you find that these cases have significantly reduced because of the use of vaccines. So we continue to also collect some of this myth and misconception from the community. And the Ministry of Health and its partners have very good systems of gathering this kind of information and address them, because sometimes those myth and misconception is because of information.
Mm-hmm.
And providing people with the right information is very critical for them to understand the value of vaccines to humanity.
And picking up from there, Dr. Lasso, is there any groups, religious leaders, media, or maybe local chiefs or women groups that maybe the Minister of Health or WHO and other partners are working with to raise awareness on this issue of myth around vaccinations?
Yes, that is true. I mean, when we are planning for this vaccine, we have different committees sitting for training, ensure that healthcare workers are trained. We have committees looking at vaccine logistics. We have vaccine looking at social behavior change. So there are committees and which sits down with those different structures to ensure that information, the right information, is passed to the community through the community leaders, through religious leaders. So most of these activities are being supported by one of the partners supporting the WHO. So I think WHO is supporting, and also other partners are supporting the ministry to ensure that some of these activities are continuing in the community to demystify the myth and the misconceptions that are about vaccines.
All right. Let me come to Faraday. We should be winding up now. I mean, for caregivers that are listening to us right now, I mean, what's your message now? I mean, why should they return to the clinic when their children already reaches the age of 19 months? I mean, when that process have gotten to 18 months already?
Okay. Thank you. I already mentioned earlier, by introducing MCV2, for the second dose of measles and even the fourth dose of malaria, this is another opportunity for the mother and the child to visit the health facility at the second year of life. Mm-hmm. And we know sometimes for the caregivers, it might be difficult to take the child to the health facility if he is not or she is not sick.
Yes.
So that is one of actually the demand creation and awareness creation activity, which will take me the question you asked earlier about who is doing this kind of awareness creation, demand generation partners. We have multiple partners doing this one. And one of the advantage, let me say, or the benefit from the COVID-19 vaccination is we strengthen the risk communication and community engagement activities. So as a WHO, UNICEF, and other partners who are actually working with the health, they have that component, how to demand generation and awareness creation regarding the vaccination. And to take you back to that same question of about the misconception, usually when we have vaccination for adults, there is that misconception. That's why COVID was challenging in the initial. And the way it came also, people, they don't know about the disease, but there is a vaccine. So that misconception is there. But good enough, in South Sudan, child vaccination is not a big challenge.
Mm.
There was no unknown refusal or religious group or a cultural listing. We don't have that.
All right.
Yeah. So that's also an advantage.
All right. Thank you. Any last message as well, Dr. Mustafa, in 15 seconds.
Thank you so much. I just want to mention that vaccine, the reason why we take vaccine is for protection. I normally compare this to having a house. if you have a house, if you're building a house, and the purpose why you're building the house is to provide you with protection. So the vaccines where you are supposed to get multiple doses, if you only get one dose, it's just like living in a house without roof, doors, and windows. So when you get the second dose, it's like you've put up a roof. If you get the third dose, it's like you've put up the windows and the doors. So my plea to the public and mothers is that take your children for vaccination so that you can provide them with full protection, because a house with only walls, without roof, and without window is not enough protection. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Mustafa. Thank you, Dr. Ferede, for joining us this morning on the Mirai Breakfast Show. Inshallah, we'll have you some more times again in future. Thank you.